Tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, the three modes of material nature, text number 6. Right? Tatra, yes. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat. Prakashakam anamayam. Prakashakam anamayam. Shuka sangena bandnati. Shuka sangena bandnati. Jnana sangena chanaga. Jnana sangena sanga sanaga. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat. Prakashakam anamayam. Shuka sangena badnati. Jnana sangena chanaga. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat. Prakashakam anamayam. Shukasangena badnati. Jnana sangena chanaga. Satvam nirmalatvam. Shuka sangena badnati. Jnana sangena chanaga. Tatra satvam nirmalatvat. Prakasha kamana mayam. Shuka sangena badnati. Jnana sangena chanaga. Tasatvam nimalatvam. Prakasha kamana mayam. Sukha sangena badnati. Jnana sangena chanaga. Ladies. Sukha nimalatvat. Prakashakam anamayam. Sukha sangena badnati. Jnana sangena chanaga. Thank you. Tatra. There. Sattvam. The mode of goodness. Nirmalatvat. Being purest in the material world. Pakashakam. Illuminating. Anamayam, without any sinful reaction. Shuka, with happiness. Sangena, by association. Badnati, conditions. Jnana, with knowledge. Sangena, by association. Cha, also. Anaga, O sinless one. Translation, O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating. And it frees one from all sinful reaction. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. purport. The living entities conditioned by material nature are of various types. One is happy, another is very active, and another one is helpless. All these types of psychological manifestations are causes of the entity's conditioned status in nature. How they are differently conditioned is explained in this section of the Bhagavad Gita. The mode of goodness is first considered. The effect of developing the mode of goodness in the material world is that one becomes wiser than those otherwise conditioned. A man in goodness is not so much affected by the material miseries, and he has a sense of advancement in material knowledge. The representative type is the Brahmana, who is supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness. This sense of happiness is due to understanding that in the mode of goodness, one is more or less free from sinful reactions. Actually, in the Vedic literature, it is said that the mode of goodness means greater knowledge and greater sense of happiness. The difficulty here is that when a living entity is situated in the mode of goodness, he becomes conditioned to feel that he is advanced in knowledge and better than others. In this way, he becomes conditioned. The best examples are the scientist and the philosopher. Each is very proud of his knowledge, and because they have generally improved their living conditions, they feel a sort of material happiness. This sense of advanced happiness in conditioned life makes them bound by the mode of goodness of material nature. As such, they are attracted towards working in the mode of goodness, and as long as they have an attraction for working in that way, they have to accept some type of body in the modes of nature. Thus, there is no likelihood of liberation or of being transferred to the spiritual world. Repeatedly, one may become a philosopher, a scientist, or a poet, and repeatedly one may become entangled in the same disadvantages of birth and death. But due to illusion of the material energy, one thinks that that sort of life is pleasant. Sri Chaitanya Manomisam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So this verse begins to explain the qualities of material nature, otherwise known as agunas. And we introduced this subject the other day. But we should understand it in some detail. So, I see some new faces here. You understand Bhagavad Gita? Have you read Gita? Yes? No?
I'm second time here in this place. Okay.
And have you read Bhagavad Gita?
No.
No, okay. Alright. How about you? Have you read Gita? Yes? Okay. Alright. So, modern man does not understand how this material world is working, because they simply try to analyze it from a material perspective. So they are looking at chemicals and atoms and reactions between these various elements of material nature, but they don't understand the spiritual aspect of this world, which is hidden from their view. The Bhagavad Gita, however, explains all of these things, and it explains how the spiritual living being is situated in a body made of material energy, how the whole material world is acting under the influence of the spiritual energy. And this chapter, titled The Modes of Material Nature, explains how the material energy affects the consciousness of the living being when the living being contacts the material energy. So we give some crude examples of taking, say, some liquor Everyone knows you drink some liquor and it affects your consciousness. You become drunk. So this is a very gross example of how by contacting the material energy we become influenced. But every aspect of the material energy that we come in contact with has a very subtle influence on the consciousness. By that continued contact with the material energy, we are said to become conditioned. And in this way, we use the word conditioned in the same way as modern psychology means that, I think, what do they call it? A conditioned response. If a certain pattern is repeated again and again, then one can predict that that pattern will again be repeated. Okay? In other words, the kind of food that people are eating, they generally have a habit of eating the same thing over and over again. And they become conditioned to eating like this, and one can predict that that is how they will eat. So, everything in material nature has some influence of the gunas. So time of day, for example, in the early morning hours, say from 4 a.m. to noon, the influence of sattva-gun is prominent. Everyone sees, and everywhere in the world, I travel all over the world, and everywhere you go, you see that in the early morning hours, people are out cleaning. They're cleaning in front of the house, in the street, and so on. And it's not just that this is a nice time to do it, but that's the influence of sattva. The influence of goodness is cleanliness. And one is both, when we say one is conditioned, that means the gunas act as both cause and effect. If one acts in a particular way at that time, they will become conditioned to continue to act that way in a time. So the mode of goodness causes cleanliness, and the cleanliness causes the mode of goodness. Is that clear? Yeah? No? Yeah? Okay. So the same thing with all of the gunas, of course. And so because people are generally habitual in many of their activities, one can see that they become conditioned by the gunas in a particular way. They become conditioned to a way of thinking and understanding, the condition to a particular type of happiness, and so on. Later in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is going to explain different kinds of activities according to the gunas. So he explains their work, action, knowledge, understanding, happiness. What else? At least those five, probably some more. And so he explains that there's a different type of knowledge. One type of knowledge in the mode of goodness, one type of knowledge in mode of passion, and one type of knowledge in mode of ignorance. For example, knowledge in the mode of goodness means that one can see the spiritual principle, the living spiritual principle that's behind every living thing. In other words, understand that different bodies, even though the body may be different, the living spiritual principle is the same. Whereas a person who's in influenced predominantly by passion, he sees a different type of living entity in every different body. So he'll see, for example, the chicken, there's a different, if it has the spiritual, if it has some spirit, it's different from me because I'm a human being. And therefore, such people, they see the animals as simply objects for their sense gratification that they can butcher and eat. And then the person in tamagun, his knowledge binds him to complete ignorance. He has no understanding of right, wrong, spirit, matter, anything at all. So like this, so Everything is both situated in the gunas, and the gunas influence everything. The squeaky floor makes it very distracting, you know? I lose my thought every time somebody walks in. So the living being becomes conditioned by the gunas, and therefore his actions, his way of thinking, his actions are predictable. What will happen? So what will happen depends on the nature of the guna. And here again, this verse begins explanation of sattva-gun, the mode of goodness. And the mode of goodness is such that it's illuminating. It lifts one up. It raises the consciousness. It gives understanding. And one can begin to understand what is what. One can understand the difference between right and wrong. And influenced by goodness, one can act so that one becomes elevated spiritually. Tamaguna, on the other hand, is completely opposite. The reaction is, let's say, the activities and everything is almost opposite in every sense. Those influenced by tamaguna, they go down. They become more dull, more foolish, more stupid. So some people, especially in the New Age category, they have a tendency to think that life is wonderful and everything is getting better and better all the time. And it'd be nice if that were the case, but actually even some of them, you know, they have this idea that Kali Yuga has ended. Have you seen that? It's very interesting. You know about Kali Yuga? There's different ages, and the age of Kali, the age that we're in right now, is the age in which people who are influenced predominantly by tamagun can take birth and enjoy their activities of tamagun. So this is why we see conditions in this world becoming so degraded, because so many people who are in tamagun are born at this time to enjoy their degraded activities. Anyway, some people, they have this idea that Kali Yuga has come to an end, and now we're, oh yeah, you know why they, I realize why they get that, because when Lord Krishna is born, let's say, the four yugas, Satya Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, Treta Yuga, Kali Yuga, that's how they go in that order. Dwarpa is two, Treta three, Kali is the fourth age. But because when Lord Krishna appears, the Dwarpa Yuga and Treta Yuga are reversed. So it goes Sattva, Treta, Dwarpa, Kali. Now what does that mean that they're reversed? It means that Krishna appears, let's say the time of Dwarpa Yuga is the time of the great kings. The great chivalry and warriors, there's a lot of things like that. So this is what happens when Krishna comes in that time. So that's the Satya Yuga is the age of the Brahmanas, the Sattva Gun. Dwarpa Yuga, the age of the Kshatriyas, Rajagun. Treta Yuga, the age of the Vaishyas, which would be Rajas and Tamas. And then Kali Yuga, Tamagun. So when Krishna appears, the Treta and Dwarpa are switched. So because it's read like that from Prabhupada's books, Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, Kali, people have this idea that we go from Kali to Dwarpa to Treta, one, two, three, in that order, that things are getting better. I saw that on YouTube. I was rather surprised how they come to that conclusion. Anyway, I didn't watch the video at all. I just saw that they have this concept. How did I get there? Anyway, Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is a time for the fallen conditioned souls to come and enjoy their sinful activities. So Prabhupada's indicating in this verse how people in sattva gun, they become conditioned by the concept of happiness. So if there is any happiness in the material world, it's the happiness that's experienced in sattva gun. So sattva is characterized by serenity, peacefulness, and happiness. Now, there's different kinds of happiness also. There's happiness in sattva-gun, happiness in rajagun, happiness in tamagun. Happiness in rajagun is what most of us know in terms of going shopping, getting and spending, getting money, spending money, buying things, getting more, more, and still more. And happiness in tamagun is happiness derived from intoxication or drugs, something like that. And happiness of sattva-gun is happiness that one experiences from within. It's not coming from outside, but one feels naturally contented and peaceful, happy within. So the difference between these kinds of happiness is that happiness in rajagun, the happiness of getting more, is nice initially, but very soon it fades. So we all like to go shopping, you get something new and you feel good, but that good feeling only lasts a little while, and so the good feeling you got from the things that you bought last month or last year no longer does anything for you. You have to go shopping again today. So merchandisers like this idea. Helps them to sell more products. Yeah, buy more, get more. New, improved. So that's modern idea of happiness. The problem is, as Prabhupada points out, even though these people in sattva gun, they experience some sense of happiness, they have no higher understanding of what's beyond that. And so they're condemned to be born again and again repeatedly in the material world. If any of you have had much contact with universities, there's a good place to experience the happiness of sattva-gun. Many of the, and Prabhupada uses them for an example, the philosophers or the academics, they become extremely proud and puffed up from their position. And they're experiencing that happiness that Prabhupada's referring to, this happiness of being content. I have some knowledge, I have understanding, And there's a sense of feeling oneself better than others, especially academics. They're teaching young 20-year-olds all the time. So naturally they're in a far superior position, but nonetheless they become a little proud of that. So what's beyond that? Is there anything beyond this? Well, materially, no. And generally what happens is that people who are engaged in sattvic kind of activity, after some time they become bored. Because sattva and tamas, tamagun is also characterized by inactivity. Sattva-gun is characterized by inactivity. So for example, you're an academic, you sit and read all the time. If you're in tamagun, you sit and play video games all the time, or you sit and watch video all the time, something like that. So it's both characterized by inactivity, by sitting. And the person in sattva, they become a little frustrated or bored. They want to do something. So the whole world goes through the cycle of sattva to rajas, and then degrades to tamas. We can look, for example, at the various Western civilizations and how they spring up, how they develop, and how they decay. So there's the saying that if one doesn't understand history, one is condemned to repeat it. But the history actually is the influence of the gunas, that these cultures, they are born under the influence of rajagun mixed with sattva. They're all born with high ideals that we're going to create a wonderful civilization. And we see, for example, the Romans and the Greeks, they did have in many ways a wonderful civilization. They had a lot of beautiful buildings, art, and so on. But of course they had a lot of tamagun in terms of their warring activities. In any case, the culture grows up under the influence of sattva, but then becomes degraded, and the sattva becomes displaced with tamagun. So then the degradation comes, and then by the influence of tamagun, the whole thing is collapsed. Many people have looked at our modern civilization, comparing it to the Roman civilizations or the Greeks, and can understand that we're Western civilization is now going through the same cycle as it did previously. And the difference being that this time, when the civilization collapses, it's going to be the entire world, not just one part of the world. Except for those people who are living in the hills, following the Vanashram Dharma social system. So they'll be okay. Everybody else is going to have a problem. So the gunas is a very, very important subject to understand, because all of us are conditioned by the gunas. When we speak about becoming free or self-realized, self-realization actually means becoming free from the influence of the gunas. Otherwise, we're all conditioned souls. We're all acting under the influence of the gunas. And the gunas, they cause us to act in predictable ways. So we'll stop there for discussion. So how do we become free from the gunas? We were speaking about that in earlier classes, right? Anybody remember?
Stop wishing.
Stop wishing. We have to chanting Hare Krishna. Well, it's the whole process of sadhana bhakti. By becoming purified, by becoming free from duality, rising above the modes, and coming to the stage of Nishta. Remember? Anybody? Okay. I have to give that class again. Any questions? Sure. Here's the microphone here.
Sometimes I...
Speak up. You can turn her microphone up so I can hear.
Sometimes I act and I do things which I really don't want to do.
Yeah.
But I still do it. I'm very confused and... I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah. Arjuna asked Krishna the same question in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, why are people forced to act against their will? It's not just you. Many people, everybody actually has this experience. And this is what we mean by conditioning. We're conditioned. Our conditioned behavior forces us to act in a predictable way. Krishna answers Arjuna. He says, this is The reason that we're forced to act against our will is due to what he says, lust. In this case, lust means strong desire. It's our previous desires and our previous conditioning that force us to behave. Just like, use an example again, a very gross example of a drug addict. You sit them down in front of their drug of choice, whatever it might be, and you know what's going to happen. They're going to use it, right? It's predictable because that's what they've done in the past, so that's what they'll do in the present. So this is what conditioning means. And becoming free from conditioning means to become free from that tendency to act in that predictable way. One has to change their behavior. So there's a lot of inspirational speakers. They talk about creating new habits, new patterns in one's life. And some of these people, they explain that one cannot just change overnight. Rather, one has to develop a new pattern, a new way of associating things. And to do this takes at least 3 weeks. That if one can continue to practice a new good habit for a minimum of 3 weeks, but better for a month, then they may again become conditioned to that kind of stimulus and response. Understand? So that then they can change their behavior from what it was before. What happens is we associate a particular circumstance with a particular experience. And so we're looking for that experience. So we have to learn how to associate it with something different. So it takes time. This is why for a person who is trying to advance in spiritual life, it's very, very important for them to associate with devotees by coming and taking advantage of sadhu sangha, association with the saints, the sadhus. Then we give up our previous patterns of behavior and we adopt new ones. So here every night we're coming and we're talking about Bhagavad Gita, but other people, they're going out to the bar every night. So they're becoming conditioned, and actually the devotees are becoming free from conditioning because bhakti yoga connects one with their eternal function as servant of God. Is that okay? The philosopher. He's the philosopher. He's always got the questions.
In the Varnashrama, we heard sometimes that Varnashrama, we have heard that
So we heard that in Varnashrama system, one is progressing from one Varna to another.
Right.
So if someone is working perfectly as Shudra, then in the next life he will become Vaishya.
Right.
But now we just heard that if you're conditioned in one guna, then you know you cannot elevate yourself. So how come one can get elevated?
Well, no, I didn't mean to indicate that you cannot elevate yourself. This is the whole point of following Varnashram system, because just like here, we're doing spiritual activities, but for the purpose of elevating ourselves. To become free from our conditioned life. So in Varnashram, they have many duties which are, let's say, they're not quite as spiritual as what we're doing, okay? But they are still free them from their previous ways of thinking and understanding. So this is the whole idea, that the Shudra How does he become a perfect shooter? What does that mean? It means that he can begin to... A shooter, first of all, is only generally concerned about himself or his family, his extended self. Okay? To be a Vaishya means you have to be concerned about the welfare of more people other than just yourself. So a perfect shudra, or let's say a shudra, then can grow in that dimension of becoming more and more appreciative of the needs of others, having compassion for others, even developing a desire to want to help others. Okay? These are the qualities of a Vaishya. If a Vaishya does not, or let's say a person who is doing, let's say, some kind of business, for example, just to use a crude example, Vaishya would we think of as businessmen. If a businessman is not thinking about the welfare of his employees but always exploiting them, he won't be able to have a successful business. All his employees will leave or his whole enterprise will collapse. So there's the, I guess you might say, ethical aspect of life, or this, yeah, even spiritual aspect of life, is we could say that as we go up from the Sudra to the Brahmana, going increasing, Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana, there must be increasing concern for the welfare of others. This is what Dvija means, or the higher orders. It means concerned about everybody in the world, more and more and more. So the Sudra is concerned about himself and his family. The Vaishya concerned about all the families that are of the people that are working for him. The Kshatriya is concerned about the whole community, the whole city. And the Brahmana is concerned about the whole world. So this is how one makes progress like this. And the different rules and regulations of Varna and Ashram teach them how to develop those qualities. Okay. You have any questions?
I was just asking, it sounds like being a politician means somebody to take care of the community. When you just mentioned this, like from personal, meaning like family, then we, our society, then like globally, worldwide.
Uh-huh.
So we just don't have a president of the world. We're just kind
of... Well, some people want that, but I don't think their idea of that is very benign. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the basic idea is correct. We also want to see a one world government, but spiritual government. So. The world is going in that direction without a doubt. You know, we'll see where it winds up. We have our part to play. We have to raise up the consciousness so that it gets to the good side. Yeah. So? Tomorrow's Ekadasi. So, fasting as much as possible. Fast till noon if you can. Better than that is fasting till 6 p.m. Better than that is fasting from solid food. Better than that is fasting from everything but air. And then breaking fast the next day is from 6:30 to 10:20. So, that's it. Chilo Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.